the Lord really showed me something here I think would be profitable for us. So Luke chapter 1. Hope you had a good Christmas and a new year. Hope you were healthy. Some of us weren't. It's just the nature of things. We live in a cold weather state. There's COVID out there. It's just how things seem to go. But I hope you had a good Christmas. I hope you had a good New Year. We did. We were super low-key. I struggled to stay awake New Year's. I'm just sitting on my couch. It's getting 11:30. I'm looking at my wife going, can we just go to bed? And she looked at me and said, see what happens. And so I didn't want to tempt fate there, so I stayed awake until the ball dropped, and then we went off to bed very shortly thereafter. But that all to get you to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's see, Luke chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 5. We're going to read down to verse 17 together. If you would stand with me, if you are physically able. If not, don't worry about that. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And verse 17 reads, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this time of year usually has us in Luke chapter 2 talking about the birth of Christ, as well we should. It's Christmas season. We should have that in our hearts. Now, moving into the new year, we find ourselves dealing more in chapter 1, dealing with a couple named Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, dealing with the account of the birth of John. And we're going to get into more of the details about why we're getting into this later, but right now I think I'm going to give away a lot of my outline here in the title. And that title is this: Believe, Endure, and Profess. Title of today's sermon, Believe, Endure, and Profess. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this time in your house. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Father, to me it is special to have the opportunity to preach the first message of the new year. Lord, I thank you for our pastor who affords me the opportunity to preach here. Lord, I thank you for our church who also does the same. Father, I pray for this message. Lord, I pray that you would use this message and plant some seeds into some people's minds and hearts, Father. I pray that you'd help me as the preacher here to clearly communicate what you'd have them to know, and I pray, Lord, that you would work in their lives to apply it for them. Lord, we know that you as the Holy Spirit are the only one who can specifically apply this to the moment-by-moment situations in their lives, Lord. And I pray that you would do that with this message. I don't have that power, Lord, but I pray, Father, that you would use this in that way in their lives. And Father, it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and amen. You may be seated. My coaster and my cup. If you don't come typically on Sunday nights, a couple sermons ago, I did not put the coaster, I just put the cup, and I got some eyeballs from some people. So now I always remember, coaster, on wood, done. So here we are. So, let's get started. So around this time every year, we speak about Jesus. I've said that three times already, and you know what? We should speak about Jesus. We should speak about Jesus in every service, amen? Right. It's important. It's important to keep the main thing the main thing. I appreciate services. I appreciate people. I appreciate music. I appreciate teaching, technology, offerings. I appreciate all of that stuff, but it's very important this time of year. We really just, we sit down and we think about our Savior and the fact that He condescended from heaven to come down here and spend time with us. 33 years in a body, the most limiting thing He could have done for Himself. Not even a big, strong, muscular human body where He's lifting huge boulders, but He came as a baby to what would probably be a less than average height and less than average strength by today's standards in the Middle East at that time. He came in the form of that type of a body, and I appreciate that about what our Lord has done for us, and I'm thankful for that. And that's what this season should consist of us thinking about, is having our minds on the fact that He came down here to save us from our sins. Amen. That's a blessing to us. It's a wonderful thing. Now, naturally, our minds now, it's January 2nd, we go to the new year. We start thinking about new things. We take that love for Christ, and we try to apply it into the new year, using it as a launch pad. It's the second day of our year. Now, typically what we think about in this time is New Year's resolutions. Do we have any? Do we have any? Raise your hand. Do you have any? I don't. Here's why. They don't work. They never work. They never work. They're terrible. I don't believe in them. I don't think they work. I do not have any good experience with them. I usually get about 3 weeks in, and you know what happens? I give up because I'm a quitter. And based on the raised hands, so are you. That's just how we operate. Now, that being said, I do think it's important with each year that we try to improve ourselves a little bit each year. I think that's fair, and I think that's good. I'll give you an example for me in my life. I'm trying to focus this year on music. I'm trying to be a better musician. I'm trying on my health, focusing on my health, because you can only do as much as your body allows you to do. I think it's reasonable that we focus on those things. And leadership. Those are three things in my life that I'm just kind of focusing on, chiseling away at this year to try to improve myself. I find that when I do that, it keeps me sharp and focused. It gives me a sense of direction, a sense of purpose, a sense of accomplishment. Now, if you, however, have stumbled into this new year without any plans of bettering yourself at all, you can rest assured of one thing. You're going to be the exact same person that you are right now, except you'll have less years in front of you and less opportunities to change the ship. And we don't want that for ourselves, do we? Do you want to be the same person a year from now that you are right now, having experienced no growth? Having developed nothing more but age? I don't. I hope you don't either. I hope that you have a mind to grow as a person generally. Now, relating this to our Christian walk, we should be striving. We should be going for more. We should be going for growth. We should be trying to develop ourselves in some area every single year. That is what the Lord has called us to. What spiritual goals do you have? What is your specific plan to accomplish those goals? Now, this isn't a motivational message this morning. I have no intention of doing that to you. I just want you to start thinking this way. We ought to be improving ourselves. More importantly, not just improving ourselves, but improving ourselves for the service of the Lord. If you have a plan in place, friends, I'd say this: excellent. That's good. That's helpful. I think that you will benefit greatly from doing that. I know in my life I have. But in addition to whatever plan you may have, and even if you don't have a plan, the account of Zacharias in the book of Luke gives us great insight into how we can grow in the Lord this coming year. Now, here's my proposition to you, church. And if you miss everything I just said, pay attention to this part, because this is really what's going to be driving the whole message here. God's desire is for you to trust Him. That's His desire for you. And more as time goes on, He doesn't want the same level of faithfulness from you this year that you gave last year. No, he wants more. You know, I'm in sales as a career, and you know, the funny thing, I had a certain sales number last year, and the Lord allowed me to hit that number. And guess what? Are they going to keep me at that number? No, you know what they're going to do? Oh, you hit that. That means we're going to bump it out a little bit more because we want more out of you. We want more money coming out of you. To which I can say nothing but aye, aye. Well, the Lord is the same with you. He has seen that you have this much faith last year. Moving forward, He wants to see your faith grow a certain amount more. And now whatever that is, you're going to have to check with the Holy Spirit. But I guarantee He has something more for you than what you did in the previous year. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist. Zechariah had some struggles early on in this account that lends us insight how to handle difficult or out of the ordinary situations in our lives, which are certain to come this year. Zechariah lacked trust. It created issues. But we see this also, it created opportunities for grace, for God to work as well. Do you trust God? That's the whole question. Do you trust Him? We see here, we're going to see Zacharias could have probably done better in that category. But through the account of how he handled the birth of his son John, we're going to understand three main things to help us understand how we can grow in the year 2022. So number one, we see this. What are three areas that we can grow in that will help us for what God has for us? How can we prepare? What can we do? Well, number one, the first thing that we can do is we can believe. We have to have belief. Now, that seems very simple and very plain, but it is hard. In music, there's no... I went to school for music. I do some music things around here. In music, there is no easy song. There are simple songs, and there are complex songs, but there's no easy song. There are songs that have not a whole lot of moving parts in it, but you know what has to be moving when the notes are not? You. Ronald Reagan said one year that there are no easy solutions, just simple ones. And that's very true. And belief is no different. Belief is an easy concept, but boy, isn't it hard sometimes. When you wake up in the morning and you check your bank account on your phone or however it is that you do it, and you see some kind of a shortfall. Boy, it's easy to not have belief in that situation, isn't it? A doctor gives you some kind of a prognosis that you don't like. It's easy to not have belief, isn't it? But we need belief. And Zacharias is going to show that to us here. Go with me to the book of Luke, same book. We're not going to be turning many places today. Luke chapter 1. Verses 5 through 10, we're going to read this quickly. We're going to get some fast facts about Zechariah. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So we see a couple of things in that text about our friend Zacharias here. Number one, we see that he was a priest. And a priest had a couple of main responsibilities at that time. Temple maintenance was one. And when I said temple maintenance, what I really mean is they were to take care of the temple. They were to make sure that the temple was presentable, clean, appropriate for the Lord. Number two, they were to teach the law. Number three, they were ordained to offer sacrifices. So a priest in that day was what you would consider to be a spiritual leader. It was a person that you could look to if you had a question about something and you could feel confident that they had the answer, that they knew the law. So he was a priest. He was of the tribe of Levi, which is the same as Moses. That becomes very interesting later on. He followed the law of Moses and was considered blameless, both he and his wife. He was, and get this, he was very old. He wasn't older. He was old. And I think we understand the difference there. He was at what you would consider to be the end of life stage of where he was supposed to be. He was very old. He had previously prayed for a child, and his wife was considered barren. He was in the temple burning incense when Gabriel showed up, the angel, and he, get this, in spite of all of that, struggled to believe what he was about to hear. Zacharias needed belief. Don't you think a man like that should have had some? You could think to yourself, sure, he should have, but he didn't. And what I'm proposing to you is that there is a difference between a person who is faithful and a difference between a person who is full of faith. You could go to church for 20 years and not be, you could be faithful in that, but you cannot be full of faith. And we see that that's exactly what Zacharias was. He was a faithful man. He took care of his responsibilities. And he was trusted and trustworthy, and he was blameless, but that did not mean that this man was full of faith. And friends, I wonder the same tonight about, or this morning about you. I usually preach in the evenings. You'll apologize for that. I wonder that about you as well. Not that I know, I don't know. Are you faithful, or are you full of faith, or are you faithful? You can be both, but you shouldn't have to choose. And we see that Zechariah, despite that really impressive resume, did not have belief. And there were a couple of things that he needed to have belief in. The first thing he should have had belief in was, and get this, he needed to have belief in his qualified messengers. He needed to have belief in God's qualified messengers. Go with me to verse 11. Chapter 1, verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Pause. An angel of the Lord. How much closer to God do you need to be at this point in your life? He's in the temple. Which, if you don't know what a temple is, the temple, it kind of looked like a gated community. There was an outer gate, like rectangular, and then there was an inner gate. And then there was like an open common area on the inside of that gate. And then on the inside of that inside gate, there was a facility known as the temple where the Holy of Holies was. And the priests were to work in that facility. So when you get to a certain point, if you were a Gentile, you couldn't even get into the facility when you were on the inner gate. Don't even think about going into the temple. That's for priests. So this is a priest burning incense in a temple. And then an angel of God shows up. And he still doesn't have belief. Because we see in verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Which, pause, that I can understand because angels are terribly impressive creatures. Any one of us would fall down to an angel's feet, and I think that's reasonable. But he needed to believe the qualified messenger. We find out later that he did not. And friends, applying that to our lives, you have some kind of a qualified messenger in your life. There is some man, we use the phrase man of God. Okay, I think anyone who's saved is a man of God. But we use that phrase. There's somebody in your life who God has used as a qualified messenger to send you something or another that you can verify by his word. That you either have to choose to trust or to not trust. You need to have belief in the qualified messengers that God sends in your life. I will emphasize the word qualified messengers. I will tell you this, I am extremely open to people. Pastor would tell you this, or he wouldn't, depends on if he wants to lambaste me up here, I don't know. But I am extremely open to people who I trust in giving me advice. If I trust the person and I believe them to be qualified in the area that they're dealing in, I am extremely open. I'm a sponge. I'll do it. Even if I don't think it works, I'm going to do it because I trust them. I'm extremely open in that area. I'm extremely closed when I don't perceive that they have knowledge of what they're talking about. And I won't be unkind, but I will do zero of what they say. And it doesn't matter their age, their relationship to me, or their title. If I perceive that they don't have it, I'm not going to do it. Now, if they're my leader and I have to do it, okay, I will respectfully do what they're asking me to do as long as it's you understand what I'm saying. But in terms of taking advice or taking message from people, I'm very closed in one area. And the reason is this, because they're not qualified. Now, for those that are, yes, I'm very, very open. And you should be too. But we have to be selective about who we let influence us and how we do things. We need to try these things. And here's the thing. If there is somebody in your life who is a qualified person who you can trust, who has proven themselves full of faith and faithful, and they tell you something, and the Holy Spirit's not contradicting it, and the Word of God's not contradicting it, and even if the Holy Spirit is telling you to do it, if you don't do that, you're not going to grow. 2022 is going to go by, and you're just going to go right along with it, being the same person you've always been. So what do we need to believe? We need to believe his qualified messengers. Number two, we need to believe his words. We need to believe his words. You see, this angel came to Zacharias, and he had a message for him. What was that message? Go with me to verse 13. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom unjust, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering him said, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. Friends, listen to me. At a certain point, you're just going to have to trust that God is who he says he is. You're just going to have to take that step. And I am not downing Zacharias here. Zacharias, the Bible calls him blameless. Who am I to call him different? But he was human, and so are we. And I think this account gives us great insight into ourselves here. And that is this, that you're not as faithful and you're not as full of faith as you think that you are. And your capabilities as a human are not nearly as high as you think that they are. And it's very important to understand that we need to check ourselves. And we need to see whether or not we really believe this word and all of what it says. We find here in a moment of weakness, Zacharias did not. And if he didn't, it stands to reason we probably couldn't either if we were in a moment of weakness. I think that's reasonable to think that. You need to believe his words. We need to believe his qualified messengers, which is based on his words. You don't listen to somebody who contradicts the word of God, but if they say something in the word that aligns with the word of God and you check it, it makes sense, you should listen to them. You should believe their words. And then thirdly, you need to trust his current working, considering his proven character. Do you remember when I said that this was a priest who taught the law, who was of the tribe of Levi, which is the same tribe of Moses? You don't get more in-crowd than that when it comes to the law. So it stands to reason, maybe, just maybe, he could have known about the story of Abraham. About how Abraham was very old and his wife was very old, and God came and said, hey, I'm going to give you a baby. And Sarah laughed. And why did you laugh, Sarah? That's in the account. Stands to reason. Maybe a guy of the tribe of Levi, who was of the tribe of Moses, who was a priest who was currently burning incense in the temple, would have a knowledge of that history with God. And yet he still didn't. We need to trust his current working, considering his proven character. We need to believe his qualified messengers. We need to believe his words. And we need to trust his current working, considering his proven character. And also, what we need to consider here in this belief is that your lack of belief can potentially affect more people than just you. We don't live life in a vacuum. And by virtue of you being here this morning, you have set yourself apart to your friends and family as somebody who is a born-again believer in Jesus, or at least hangs out with them. In either way, that's weird in our culture. So you're setting yourself apart in that regard. People are watching you, and they need to see the right things. Let me give you an example. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Go to verse 35. Go to verse 35. So when we look at this account, we see that John is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He's the forerunner. So that means he came about 6 months prior to Jesus being born. And in verse 35, we see here that God is using the story of Zacharias to encourage Joseph and Mary. Look at verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Pause. That can be a big pill to swallow. 36. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." What does that tell us? God is sending this angel to use that story to encourage Mary. With God, all things are possible. I wasn't done with Abraham. I didn't finish my work back in that day. I did this 6 months ago, and I did it in your own family. All things are possible. And that had to have no doubt encouraged Mary's heart. Reminded her of what God's power is. And here's the thing. If you have belief and you allow God's working in your life, it's going to encourage people who you don't even know about yet. You're going to influence people who you don't know yet. We need to trust his current working, considering his proven character. Zacharias was a spiritual leader, yet he struggled with believing God. Being faithful and being full of faith are two different things. Has your faithfulness fooled you into thinking that you are full of faith? It seemed to be that way for Zechariah, and you know what? As we're going to find, it cost him something. God can and does remove certain abilities from us if we question him. Pause. I didn't say if we ask him questions. If we question him, there is a difference. And that's basically the same as saying we remove our own abilities from ourselves, because this event is avoidable based on our own behavior. We see that we need belief. But, and get this, you say, "Brother Cole, I know we all need belief, but just as you said about Zacharias, he fell short, I can fall short, I have fallen short, what do I do?" Well, we're going to talk about that right now. Zacharias failed here, but get this, if you fail, Zacharias also shows us the right path to get back to faith. You say, how does that happen? Go with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 20. Luke chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men." So we see here that Zacharias, because of his lack of faith, the angel made him deaf and dumb. It is a strong indication there that not only did he lose his ability to speak, he lost his ability to hear, because it shows later in the account they were signing one to another. Deaf and dumb. Took away his ability to hear, took away his ability to speak. Why? His lack of faith. Why do I say that? Because, friends, listen, your lack of faith opens you up to chastisement. I'm not saying that to be unkind. And that's not something I want for you. That's, show me one benefit I would get from telling you that. That's not what I want for you. But it is something that can happen. We all make mistakes. Mistakes come with consequences. This man was set up to be in a perfect position to believe, and he didn't. He's of the tribe of Levi, of Moses. He was in the temple. He was burning incense. He was a priest. He's doing the ministration right now, and an angel comes. And I, you know, it's easy to understand the, you know, the initial shock of seeing the angel, but when the angel says, "Fear not, brother, fear not." We see Zacharias didn't do that, and it cost him his speaking voice, and it cost him his hearing. So what do? Get this. Number one, we have to believe. Number two, we have to endure. We have to endure. We have to endure the right way. We all make mistakes. What happens when we make those mistakes? What happens when we don't take a leap of faith when we should, and we end up getting chastised by the Lord for it? What do we do then? Well, Zacharias shows us exactly what we need to do. Number one, we need to cultivate humility. We need to cultivate humility. Verse 21 through 23 reads this way, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house." We need to cultivate humility. Here is how we see that Zacharias cultivated humility. Number one, and this is going to sound like a joke, it's really not, he kept quiet. He kept quiet. Now you say, "Brother Cole, of course he couldn't speak," but hold on. He could have done all kinds of things to be a reproach to the name of God in this moment. He could have written big signs. He could have put out a campaign about how this whole thing is a big sham. And those people are fakers. And those people are rude, and their God is mean, and he shouldn't be followed because he made me blind, he made me deaf and dumb. He could have done all of those things, but he did not one time put a reproach on the name of God. Not one time. Why? Because he understood. I did this to myself. And that takes some emotional maturity to look yourself in the mirror and say, "You know what? I did this to me. I blew it. It's my fault. And I'm getting chastised, and I'm going to have to endure this chastisement. But I will not put a reproach on the name of my Lord." He kept quiet. He did not blame God, number two. He did not look up in God and shake his fist at God and say, "Why did you do this to me?" Because he understood he did it to himself. Do you understand? Most of the problems in your life are self-inflicted. They are. Most of the problems in my life have been self-inflicted. They have been. I'm not a perfect person, and the biggest enemy in my life is the man that I shave. It's a cliche. It's 100% true. The biggest problem in your life, friend, is you. It's not that person in church you don't like. It's not because the pastor is too hard on you. It's not because God's rules are unfair. Listen, we deserve hell. It's because we make mistakes and we have to pay the consequences for those mistakes. And we need to bear them with grace and a quiet, humble spirit. If we make mistakes, we keep quiet. We do not blame God. And get this, I found this very interesting. He kept serving. Go to verse 23. And it came to pass, get this, that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. I find that very interesting. Even though he couldn't hear, even though he couldn't speak, an angel came and gave him an unbelievable tale about how he was going to have a kid at this age. That's a lot to take in, right? Boss, I'm going home early today. Weird day. I'm going to go home. No, he didn't do that. He didn't go home until his obligations to the Lord were completed. Why? Because he endured. Because he loved the Lord. He understood he made a mistake. He had the humility to admit that. He didn't put a reproach on the name of God, and he kept even serving him. He was able to endure. We all make mistakes. You're looking at a man here. I know more mistakes about my life than I do about anyone else's here combined. And the same is probably true of you. We are sinful, wretched people, every one of us in this room. We can dress up nice. I know how to tie a tie. I know how to put a suit over my overweight frame and make it look better than, you know. We all know how to do things like that, right? We know how to look good. But on the inside, are we really that way? A lot of us aren't. All of us aren't. If we make mistakes, we just have to endure. So number one, we see that in this endurance, what do? We have to cultivate humility. He cultivated humility. Number two, we have to refocus our priorities. We need to refocus our priorities. So when you consider this, Zacharias has gone. This all happened right at the onset, before the conception even, that he was rendered this way. And we're going to see that he's going to be this way all the way until the baby is born. That's 10 months. That's a long time. Say it's 9 months. No, it's 10 months. Full gestation is 10 months, 40 weeks. It's a long time to not be able to speak or hear. But you know what that does? That gives an opportunity to refocus. Because if Satan and his demons, his devils, are not in your ear gate, and you don't have an opportunity to speak lack of faith, you know who's working on the inside? The Lord. And that gave him a wonderful opportunity to refocus. A long time, a long glimpse of silence where he could focus on the right things. And friends, if you are in a position where God has silenced you, I recommend you do the exact same thing. You take that opportunity to refocus. You got knocked on your heels because you were given an opportunity to show faith and you messed it up. Okay, we've all done that. Everyone in here has done that. I've done that. Okay, let's be a family about it. Let's not be mean to each other about that. We've all done that. Okay, how do we regroup? What you endure? How do you endure? You cultivate humility, but you refocus. You really list out your priorities. What matters to me? Because obviously it wasn't the Lord like I thought it was. What matters to me? You write all that out. You figure it out and be honest with yourself. Judge yourself squarely. And then change those priorities to match what the Bible says we ought to be doing. You need to take that time to refocus. And then if you can, if the Lord gives you an opportunity, you need to learn how to make it right. You need to learn how to make it right. Go with me to verse 59. Verse 59. This is at the birth of John the Baptist. I like how this reads. It's actually quite funny. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Pause. The angel in the beginning said this boy better be named John. Okay, this is an important detail. Verse 60. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." It's a good woman. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table. I love this. And wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. He's done messing with this angel. Look, you win. Okay, he's John. I find that humorous. Anyway, he made it right. We can laugh about it, but the truth is he made it right. You know what he could have said? Zacharias Jr. You think that's silly? I know a lot of prideful men, myself included, who would be tempted to do that very thing. That's just how we are. But he didn't do that. He yielded. He took that time of refocus. And when the Lord gave him an opportunity to make it right, plain as day opportunity to make it right, he made it right. And you can too. You can make it right. Are you currently dealing with self-inflicted wounds? Learn from Zacharias. Be humble. Refocus. And make things right. That's how you can endure. You can endure by cultivating humility, refocusing, and making it right if you can. So number one, how do we grow in 2022? We have to believe. Zacharias showed us what the lack of this does. Number two, how do we grow in 2022? We have to endure. Zacharias showed us this remarkably well. Number three, if you trust God and you have learned to endure and grow from his chastisement, guess what the natural outpouring of this is going to be? Professions of praise. What's the third thing you can do to grow in 2022? Profess. Believe, endure. Number three, profess. Go with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophet, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. It's poetic, isn't it? To give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Friends, listen to this. Appreciating somebody but never professing it is like wrapping a gift and never giving it. Praise God for what he has done in your life. It's not always pretty. It's not always easy. And we don't always make the right choices. But Zacharias shows us that we can still praise God. Look, he just got off a 10-month hiatus from speaking and hearing. Don't you think he might have, could have been a little bit angry about that? But what did he do? He praised the Lord. That's how he chose to use his first words in almost a year, to praise the Lord. How can we praise? What can we praise? Zechariah shows us. We can see here in verse 68, we can praise his closeness with his creation. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. We can praise his closeness with his creation. He didn't have to have a relationship with us. Number two, we see we can praise the salvation that he affords us. Verse 69 through 77. I'll just read verse 77. to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And that part is very important. Do you know that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a baby, was completely sinless through his entire life, did miracles, served people, never had a wrong thought, never had a bad motive, was put on trial, died on a cross like this one, a little bit more rugged than this one, for your sins? Do you know he did that? You should. Jesus Christ, the whole reason any of this is relevant to us. He came. He lived a sinless life. He was God in the flesh, born of a virgin. Paid your sin debt for you so that you would never have to taste hell. So how does that work? Well, it's very simple. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That means that your payment for your sins is death. And everyone in here is a sinner. If you're not a sinner, you're a liar. Everyone in here is a sinner. Myself included, pastor included. We're all sinners. The payment for that sin is death. Well, either you can pay that sin and go to hell, or Jesus Christ, who has already paid that sin debt for you, can cover it for you, and has. Because you see, his blood was perfect. He was without sin. Because he was absolutely perfect in every category of life, he was God in the flesh. When he died on that cross, that death was enough to cover all sins, past, present, and future. Wiped them clean. You say, what do I have to do to receive that? Well, you just said it. You have to receive it. You have to accept it like a gift. You have to receive Jesus Christ into your life as your, get this, these are funny older words as time goes on, Lord, meaning you're a rescuer, and the person who you follow, and Savior, more specifically meaning your rescuer. And if you receive him, the Bible says a couple of things about you now. Number one, you're still a sinner, but your sin debt has been paid. It's like going in for a parking ticket. You go in, you have a $100 parking ticket, you hand it to the judge, and the judge says, hey, this has already been paid on your behalf. You're guilty, but your thing is paid for. You can leave now. You don't have to pay. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. And all you have to do is receive that. And if you receive that, if you make that decision to do that, the Bible says that you'll never go to hell. That when you die, you're going to go right to heaven, have a home in heaven with the Lord himself. That's a beautiful thing. But if you don't make that decision, you will have to pay for your own sins. And if you have to pay for your own sins, you're going to do it spending an eternity burning in a dark, flaming hell. Forever. And the Lord doesn't want that for you. That's why he sent his son. So that you can have eternal life through him. You just have to humble yourself enough to understand that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. Zacharias understood that. He praised his closeness with creation. He praised the salvation that God's Son affords us. And he praised his goodness towards us. 78. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You can praise his closeness with his creation. You can praise his salvation that his son affords us. And you can praise his goodness towards us. Do you trust God? Just to yourself, think. Do you really trust him? Do you really trust him? Would you like to trust him more in 2022? Here's how you can. You can cultivate belief in him. Number one. Number two, you can view his chastisement as growth. And number three, you can profess his goodness with your mouth. And listen, you can win this year, friends. I don't want to be a downer. You can win. God wants you to win. You know, oftentimes, and I'll end with this thought, and we'll get on with the invitation, but oftentimes, we look at Paul. Paul in the New Testament wrote about a third of the New Testament. And you know how we view Paul sometimes? We view Paul like he's Jesus. We don't say we do, but we kind of do sometimes. And here's how. Because God showed us Jesus Christ to show us our faults, okay? Show us how short we're going to come, okay? He showed us the law for that, and he showed us a little bit in Jesus and his perfect character. But you know, God showed us Paul, I don't believe, to make us feel worse about ourselves. God showed us Paul to show us what the high watermark of Christian living can be. And you can do it. And you are capable of it. There's nothing special about Paul that you don't already have. The only thing he had that we lack is belief. True belief. And if you have the same belief that Paul had, you can have the same closeness with God that Paul did. That's all it takes. You say, well, Paul accomplished so much more ministry than I ever will. Maybe. That part's up to the Lord. But the part that he did control, he could control, he did control. He stayed as close to the Lord as he could. And he serves as an encouragement and a high watermark to what we can be in our own lives. Not as a discouragement and something that we can never attain. You can be Paul in this present world. You can do that. And don't be afraid to try. Have faith in the Lord. If you've never done well before, you can today.